Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport, making it happen for you. Appreciate each of you tuning in. We got Elijah Campbell over there hitting the switches, keeping this thing flowing smoothly. It is another week, another opportunity to talk shop, so you know we are blessed to do that. And I figure since we're just ahead of rookie minicamp, we might as well just go into some of the things that I'll be looking for in minicamp. And it's going to be our first opportunity to see these rookies, so we'll get into that. We got Quincy Avery, QB coach for Malik Willis, coming on to talk some shop. Just tell us, you know, some of the things about Malik Willis and what he brings to the table and what to expect from him. And as always, we got Run TMC, so you know what it is. Chris Sanders, forever Titans receiver, coming on. We'll talk some shop there too. And we're going to start it off, as I mentioned, with what to look for from this rookie minicamp, what I'll be looking for specifically. And first things first, I want to start with the quarterback. I want to start with Malik Willis. And I just want to see just how he is going to be when it comes to taking snaps from under center. That's something that's going to be not all the way new to him, but doing it frequently is something that he's going to have to get used to. And I think, you know, it'll be a good opportunity for him to show the progression that he made from Liberty to working with Quincy Avery and then also to being here in the NFL. I think another thing with Malik Willis that I'm going to be watching for is just how quickly he's going to pick up the timing with the receivers, right? You got Treylon Burks, you got Kyle Phillips, you got another guy in Reggie Roberson, I'll get into that a little bit later. But just seeing how that timing is working, I want to see that. I want to see him able to just kind of and look, we're seeing two practices, right? So it's not like we're going to see the full gamut, but I do want to see how well he's able to work through different reads and throw the football. I'm not sure exactly how much of this practice we'll see, like if there's going to be 7-on-7, there's going to be team period. I would imagine we will see that. But the main thing is just seeing how Malik Willis is able to work through some of the things that he and QB coach Pat O'Hara have, you know, worked together virtually to get going. And that's really a big part, right? The foundation of what Willis is going to be able to do will be laid here and carry on through minicamp, into training camp, and more. So that's what I'll be watching for from Malik Willis. As far as Treylon Burks is concerned, my main thing that I'm going to look for from him is just how he releases and how he runs his routes. That's something that we you know, really have to look at, because there are only so many things he was asked to do at Arkansas, only so many routes he was asked to run. So let's see how well he's going to be able to execute the route tree when it comes to, you know, running a 16-yard comeback, snapping back to 14, you know, running a curl, running a dig, and those type of things. I want to see how well he's able to do that and how smooth he is within his breaks. And then also just to get a good feel for his body type. You know, a couple years ago, but 3-4 years ago, it was our first opportunity to see A.J. Brown on the field during our rookie minicamp in 2019. And one of the things that stood out to me immediately was like how broad his shoulders were, right? And how bulky he was. And that was something where I said, well, you know, I want to see how this guy is going to be able to work his releases and things, because at that size, like, it's hard to be sudden. Well, Treylon Burks is 6'2", 225. So it's not like he's a small guy. So I want to see just how he's going to be as far as getting off the line of scrimmage, as far as, like, how sudden his feet are, as far as how he could explode off the ball. And then also, just as I said, as he transitions through different points within the route, I'll be looking for that. In addition to that, you always want to see how comfortable a receiver is catching the football. And we know that this guy is a yards after the catch. I'm not going to call him a yak monster just yet, but he's a yards after the catch getter. 9.4 yards after the catch per reception at Arkansas, which was 7th best among all FBS receivers. So you know he knows how to get it done. I just want to see how that's going to work. The timing, right, between Willis and Burks would be interesting to watch. And also just how he is, as far as working with Rob Moore, the receivers coach, you know, and it's also going to be another opportunity, our first opportunity to see Tim Kelly working with that staff too. That's something that is kind of floating under the radar because everybody's looking at the new players, but it's a new coach there too. So we'll be checking that out. Kyle Phillips is another guy I want to watch. I want to see just how he is quickly as far as getting in and out of his routes. I mean, that's a guy, man, I could just imagine having to cover him running jerk routes and choice routes and those type of things. It would probably be very, very tough for a DB to do that. So I want to see how they take advantage of that and just how he progresses. I want to see how quick his feet are through the drills, the box drills and those type of things. So I'll be looking for that from another receiver in Kyle Phillips. Then you got Reggie Robertson. For me, the main thing is seeing how smoothly he can run. Because when that guy's healthy, he's a pony. And the pun is intended because he went to SMU and the Pony Express. But no, all jokes aside, I do want to see how well he's able to run and how smooth his steps are. And just his routes, his speed. I mean, that's something we saw in 2019, 2020, how good he was. He had a solid year, 2021. Not the same as the previous years, but this guy, in my opinion, is a player, and I want to see just him getting mixed in. Undrafted free agent out of SMU, but plenty of talent there. So those are a couple of receivers. I want to see Roger McCreary, right? See what his technique is like in person, right? As far as working through drills with Anthony Midgett. And Scott Booker, the DB and assistant DB coach, he'll primarily be with Coach Midgett, who works mostly with the cornerbacks. So I want to see just, you know, how they are working with him and what he is like in person, right? Seeing him use the length with his body, maybe not with his arms, but we'll be watching that. And just, hey, if they do one-on-ones or 7-on-7 and he could bump inside and match up against Kyle Phillips, that would be fun to watch. And even when if he lines up outside and matches up against Traylon Burks, we'll be looking for those things. But primarily, it's just movement for those guys that I'll be looking for. As far as the offensive line is concerned, there's not really much you could look for with them. D-line as well. You're not going to see much when these guys aren't in pads. So I'm going to save that for as we get into training camp. I do also want to see Hassan Haskins, though. The big running back, 6'1", 225. I want to watch just how his footwork is, right? How sudden he is as far as, you know, once he takes a handoff and hits, it's not really going to be a hole, but hits what would be the hole at the line of scrimmage and how he's able to accelerate. Catching out of the backfield is something that he showed he could do somewhat, so I want to watch that. But really, like I said, this is going to be just primarily taking the time just to see, you know, these guys' movement skills. I'm going to see Theo Jackson. I'm going to see his length in person, right? You know, because he figures to have a Dane Cruikshank type of role. I want to see just, you know, how he is in uniform. That'd be interesting watching him. There's a bunch of rookies that's going to be here. So I'll make sure I take a picture of the roster and post it. Obviously, some of those guys are not going to be around after this week, unfortunately, but you know, the guys that I'll be focusing on are the ones that will definitely be around, and we'll make sure that we have reports for you for that. Just wanted to kind of give my take, just, you know, what I look for when we start this rookie minicamp period. And it's, like I said, a great opportunity to watch these guys, lay eyes on them for the first time. I'm really going to be looking for the tempo with practice, too. That's another thing with Malik Willis that I'm going to watch, just how he takes charge of this practice. You know, it's tough to ask a guy in his first practice to take charge, but I mean, that's what the quarterback does. So I want to see just how he commands things within practice. That's going to be good to watch, and it's a good opportunity, like I said, to see these guys. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back with Run TMC. Stay tuned.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Here it comes, here it comes. Yeah. Uh-oh. The music's fading. The lights are dimming. Here it comes. Let it play. And now, starting for your Boston Celtics at shooting guard, number 10, Nate Tiny Archibald.
With the Jackson 5, Tito Jackson.
Slow down, Tito, damn.
I think I said that a couple of weeks, but that I said Jermaine Jackson. But you do look like Tito Jackson, though, man.
Hey, that's all right.
Man, what's going on with you, man? Since no football ain't going on, man, what the heck is going on?
Everything's going on. We got football about to start in a couple of days. You got rookie minicamp, but...
Oh, that's right.
I tell you what else has been going on. Still the draft, you know, the leftover, the remnants of the draft.
Absolutely.
I think that's something we should get into
this
week.
Let's do it,
man. And here's the deal, right? You look at 2019, you look at 2020. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill won the comeback player of the year in 2019. Yep. He lit the world on fire. Almost 4,000 yards passing in, what, 11 games? Like, he had an outstanding season. Then 2020, he had 33 touchdown passes. It's That's third. A career high. And there's one thing that was common in those 2 years that wasn't common in 2021, where he had 14 interceptions, which was more than the combined total that he had in 2019 and 2020. Right. You know what the common denominator in those two seasons that was not there last year?
What at?
That was a trio of preferred pass-catching playmakers. Use a little alliteration there. And the trio that I'm talking about is none other than A.J. Brown, who Ryan Tannehill has targeted more than anyone else since he's been in the league, since Brown has been in the league. We'll correct that, make sure we're clear there. And then you have Jonnu Smith, who Tannehill probably targeted the most in the red zone. Jonnu had eight touchdowns in the red zone in 2020, which was more than any other. I think he was like third among all tight ends, period, but they all came in the red zone. And then you look at Adam Humphries. Now, you talk about a high catch or completion percentage. Ryan Tannehill, when he targeted Humphries, he's targeting him, I think it was like 55 times. A good 30. It's in the high 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up being the completion. So I say all that to say, these were guys who were there for Tannehill. You had A.J. Brown getting all the free yards. You had Jonnu Smith attacking the ball in the red zone, breaking the tackle, and getting in the end zone. And then you had Adam Humphries being a slap machine, working the third down situations when he's healthy. Now, Brown was the only one there last year. Now, this year, none of them are going to be there. But that's all right, because John Robinson in the draft selected three guys who remind most people of the three that are departed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's Treylon Burks to A.J. Brown, Chig Okonkwo to Jonnu Smith, and Kyle Phillips to Adam Humphries. So let's start with A.J. Brown and Treylon Burks. I'm going to give you the floor. What are the similarities you see in those two?
Okay, yeah, but before I want to get into those two guys, I want to talk about also the play callers were a little different. You know, Arthur Smith was with those three guys, and then now you had Todd Downing. So that might be a little difference because they may see things a little different. But when you look at Brown and you look at Burks, they're both physical. They're both big. They both can catch the ball. But the one thing that I love about A.J. Brown is he can run the whole route tree. And I'm not saying that Burks can, but when he was at Arkansas, you look at a lot of his routes. A lot of the routes are like bubbles and screens and, back shoulder throws and making those catch. But he still make those tough catches. A.J. Brown did the exact same thing. So if Burks could actually actually run the route tree, when I run the hitches, slants, flag routes, posts, digs, and curls, I think he can have that same production as A.J. Brown because they have the same physical build. They have the same physical way of catching the ball. So even though A.J. Brown does things a little different, I think still Treylon Burks brings something to the table because he can do the exact same thing.
Yeah, I think that's really the similarity as far as play style is concerned.
Right.
And what they'll be asked to do, you look at the play action, the glance route that
Absolutely.
They do, I think Burks has a similar type of ability to break tackles and get yards after the catch. That's one of the things, honestly, that I'm going to look forward to seeing at rookie minicamp, and I mentioned that in the previous segment, just how he catches the football and the confidence that he has with it. Now, as far as like being able to have an immediate impact as a rookie receiver, what would you say are some of the hurdles that Burks is going to have to overcome?
I'm at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
You better believe you're going to have to learn how to get off the line of scrimmage, because if you look at some of his games, a lot of the defensive backs were playing off.
Mm-hmm.
But at this level, you're going to get challenged real quick. They're going to be in your mustache all the time. And once he understands to get the guy off the spot, you know, stack, and when I say stack, that means get back on your line, lie with your eyes, things like that, then he definitely can be successful. Then the second thing he's going to have to understand is he's got to understand what the safeties are doing. I mean, you better believe defensive coordinators are going to trick the receiver to make you think it's maybe cover three or go to four or to a cover one. He's got to make sure that he understands what the safeties are doing. He's got to understand what the corners are doing, and that'll make his game make it skyrocket big time.
Yeah, and that's the main thing, like playing smart and fast.
Absolutely.
Like that's critical, and we talked about that on this Friday after the draft. After round one, we got into that, and I think that's going to be huge for him. And you know, those are some things to look at, just how quickly he's going to get acclimated into that offense. So when you move it on to Chig Okonkwo, the Jonnu Smith comparison, the body types are there again. What do you see as far as similarities? Like, what do you think Chig could bring that Jonnu Smith, similar to what he brought?
You know, they got the same build. I mean, it's kind of like looking at Jonnu Smith all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're both athletic. They're both physical. You know, they're great run after the catch. I mean, if you look at what he did last year, he had 52 catches for 447 yards and 5 TDs. That was what Jonnu Smith did. He run after the catch. You can go a 13 personnel, spread him out, and never go one-on-one with the linebacker or even the safety. And it's just a nightmare matchup with the kind of skill set that he has. But if you look at Jonnu Smith had all those things. He was athletic. He was physical. He could run after the catch. But the one thing that he had to improve on was blocking.
Yeah.
That's the exact same thing that Chig needs to work on. He's got to improve his blocking. But you're looking at, you know, a same specimen. It's Jonnu Smith. It's kind of like he spit him out. That, oh, hey, y'all looking like y'all got the same body build. You're physical. You run out of the kitchen. All those things that Jonnu had. But if they work on the block, and I think you're looking at a guy that can come in and play right away.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, you look at the body type. You look at the angry running style. You look
Absolutely.
You know, I think you even look at some of the things that they've done. I mean, Jonnu Smith, that joker took a handoff 57 yards. You know what I mean? And then you look at I think it was, 2018? Okonkwo took a handoff 54 yards against Illinois for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So there's so many similarities. And Chig himself said that he considers himself to be a more athletic version of Jonnu Smith.
Ooh, that Demby big words.
That's right. Now, the blocking thing is there, though. I think, you know, that's something to look at. And I said it before.
Mm-hmm.
I said if I was Chig, I would find a way to get in touch with Delanie Walker.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely,
you look at Delanie Walker. I remember him coming into San Francisco with Vernon Davis. They came in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
Delanie Walker played wide receiver in college.
Yeah, wow.
You know, so he had to really learn the whole idea of being an inline blocker.
Mm-hmm.
But he picked it up, and then when he got here, you know, that was something that he did well. So if I would do – that's what I would do, you know. And that's actually – if we get to talk to the guys on the side, I'm going to pull Chig aside. Absolutely. I'm going to tell him, you know, to get in touch with Delanie Walker, because that would be a good thing for him.
Hey, another thing on that blocking, I want to really, really point out a point, is when we talk about improving blocking, it doesn't mean that he's not physical.
Right.
It's just the technique of the position. Because a lot of people think that, oh, he can't block, meaning he's a big old softy. That's not the case. It's just understanding the technique, understand where your feet got to be, coming in motion and having to block somebody off the edge. It's those things like that that he needs to improve on.
Yeah, and, you know, John Robinson said that he may not, like, pile drive his guy, but he does enough to, like, to get him, you know, off his spot, get in the way, and allow the runner to go. And then the other thing, I mean, they use him a lot on, like, you know, blocking the end on split zone type of things, too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot you could do with him. The versatility, I think, is the main similarities that I see between the two, along with the body type. So we'll wrap it up with a couple slot machines. And, you know, we're talking about Adam Humphries and Kyle Phillips. And I'll give you the floor just to get into the similarities you see in those two.
You know, you're looking at two guys that are similar. I mean, they're guys that they got quick feet. They understand how to set guys up. They run choice routes. When I say choice route, that means they can break out or inside or even run the seam. They have that capability. But the one thing I love about both of these guys, TD, they're tough, man.
Yep.
They're not big in stature, but they play big. They take the big hits. They're running through people's face when they're catching the ball. And here's the deal, TD. The one thing I love about both of these guys is they create separation.
Mm-hmm.
They're not burners. They're not 4-2. They're not 4-3. They're not even 4-4. They're 4-5 guys. But why are they getting open? Why are they creating separation? It's because, number one, they understand their technique. They understand what the leverage is on a linebacker or even a safety. They understand that, and they're creating separation. And you always look up and say, man, how is this dude always getting – how are these guys always getting open? It's kind of like this, TD. They remind me – of a guy named He played for the Seattle Seahawks. Just back in the day when we were young, Steve Largent.
Largent, okay.
He had the one bar face mask.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Largent couldn't run a 4.9 probably.
They look 4.8. Like a duck.
But why is he consistently getting open, man? It's because he understands how to use his hips. He understands how to lie with his eyes. He understands how to, you know, use his body and control like Cooper Kupp from the L.A. Rams. Got things like that to where, like, man, he specializes in running routes. He specializes in setting the guys up. He specializes in creating separation. And that's why these guys are similar. They're tough. They're physical. They can run routes. Man, just a great, great pick for the Tennessee Titans, man.
And then just to kind of put icing on top of it, he's an outstanding punt returner.
Ooh.
Right, he had 22 punt returns. 9 of them went at least 20 yards. He had 2 scores. The one he had against Colorado, I talked to him about that one last week, and he just put his foot in the ground, his right foot, and exploded up the field. And he showed some acceleration. And you didn't really see that as much in the combine 40 that he ran, but he admittedly said that was a slow time for him, and he said he could run faster than that. And the kicker, he said what's most important is he plays faster than that. And I like that he said that.
Yeah, you could tell.
Yeah, definitely could tell. So I think if you look at those three, bringing those guys aboard, I think it will help make up for the loss of A.J. Brown. And get Tannehill, you know, kind of back on course to where, you know, he has an assortment of options. Sometimes, and I remember Frank Reich used to always say this when he was the OC of the Eagles. He would always say, he likes the receiving core that he has because he feel like he has 5 guys that could score 20 and not one guy who's averaging 40. And I think when you have that type of situation, it makes it harder to where you can't really focus on one guy, because when you're focusing on this one, another one's going to show up. And it's just consistently, you know, across the board, everybody is solid.
Yeah, and they got to get to know each other.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's so important for these camps that are coming up, to where they're spending time in the film room, they're spending time on the field, and they're talking through different situations and different scenarios. We talk about mentorship. That's what it means to mentor. It means to give advice. So it's going to be exciting to see how he gives advice to Phillips. How he gives advice to Chig, and he gives advice to Burks. I think it's going to be flat out outstanding. But if they put this thing together, this is a dangerous, dangerous team.
And before we get out of here, you had your rookie mini camp.
Yeah.
I know it was a while ago, but any particular – not – I mean, you know, it is what it is, you know. But any I said that just to kind of give you an out if you didn't have anything. But do you have any particular memories from your first mini camp?
Yeah, I did. You know, I came in there and I was wide-eyed, and I came in with a chip in my shoulder, TD. And I remember it was a guy named Travis Hanna. You know, he, I was a rookie, and he wouldn't talk to me, but he cussed me out one day. He's like, man, rookie, you ain't doing this, you ain't doing that. So I looked at him, and I said, man, why don't I just take your position? And then I walked away, and he wanted to fight me. So memories like that, coming in with a chip in my shoulder, being young and just being full of myself, but man, I just got an attitude to say, hey, guess what? you know, let me just go ahead and take your job. How about that?
You gotta have that edge, and that's what happened.
Yeah, and then there was one thing after I went to camp, man. It was like, man, this dude named TD. It's like, man, he looked like Sam Cassell. He looked like Penny Hardaway or Lance Shoulders. I said, he said, hands down, he looked like Sam Cassell.
Oh, you know what? And I don't know if you knew this or not, but they did have an audition for Hard Knocks back then, and they actually didn't do it because they got to St. Thomas Sports Park, and they saw you walking into the building. They were like, wait a minute. I thought this was Nashville, not Cleveland. What's Tyrone Hill doing here?
Man, get off my phone, man. Have a good one, TD.
All right.
This is Jefferson. I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break. You hear the music, Fight the Power. That's one thing that my man Quincy Avery has been doing, working with all various quarterbacks. But one thing I have noticed is he has really specialized in helping black quarterbacks make that jump into the NFL. Quincy, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm blessed. How you doing?
I'm blessed as well, man. I appreciate you coming on, and I wanted to reach out to you. You know, we talked when Jalen Hurts was coming out. You know, he's a guy that you worked with. Obviously, now Malik Willis, the Titans using the 86 overall pick, selecting him. You've worked with him for quite some time. So I guess let's get into that part just to kind of start off. How did you come about getting Malik as a guy that you would be able to coach? From what I understand, you've been working with him for a long time.
Yeah, fortunate enough, one of my partners, Sean McAvoy, started working with him his 11th grade year, and he's just been with the program, our quarterback takeover program, since then. So it's been cool to see his ascension, both as a college quarterback and then into this upcoming draft, and seeing just who he's become, how talented he is as a quarterback, and just him maturing as a person.
Now, you spent a lot of time with him, so I'm sure that you have a good grasp on what it is that gives him that it factor. So what is it that gives him that?
Malik literally lights up every single room that he is in. I know people probably heard a lot about his draft process, interviews, and those type of things, but who he is as a person, he's so he just has the energy to him that makes him different. And then when you see him on the field, he's probably the most physically impressive quarterback that I've ever worked with. And when I say that, like big, strong, fast, strong arm, those sorts of things that people talk about, he is the best of the best in all those different areas. So it's been amazing just to see him, who he is as a person, and then how he's grown as a football player.
Now, for me, like when I watch him, one of my favorite things he does is pushes the ball down the field. And it's like he hits receivers in stride. It's almost like I joked. It's like he's standing on top of a ladder over top of them, just dropping the ball right into their hands because it's very accurate. What would you say that he does really well just from all the time that you spent and then watching him at Liberty and then even at his pro day?
Yeah, he does that, but what gives him the ability to do that is how well he extends plays.
Mm-hmm.
He is so gifted in the pocket and creating space, working away from defensive linemen, just getting a little bit of extra room in the pocket so that he has the ability to push the ball down there. And then when he gets to set his feet or when he's off platform, like he's running and making these throws, he is really, really accurate. And I think some of the things that people wanted to see him do a little bit better, which would allow him to get drafted a little bit earlier, is play a little bit more on schedule. But I think that people have to understand what offense somebody's coming from, what were the things that preventing him from doing that. And he hasn't necessarily been in an offensive system that have allowed him to play on time in that way. And that is, like, that's what if I was a Tennessee Titans fan, that's what I'd really be excited about. We get somebody who's coming in almost with a clean slate. Like, we're going to teach him everything that we can about working through progression, skin through reads, back to the defense, play action,
right,
footwork, and he gets to be successful. And you got one of the best backs in the NFL there with you.
Yeah, that's always going to help, having that Derrick Henry effect. in the backfield. So let's get into his fit with the Titans then, because, I mean, you look at their scheme, as you mentioned, like it's all based off of QB movement, and that's what Malik does really well. Do you think that that's a perfect match for him? Could there have been a better landing spot than with the Titans? I think that's the best situation for him.
The situation is probably the best that it could be. No one would have expected him to fall to the 86th pick, but that's, you know, what happened. I think that the Tennessee Titans got tremendous value in what I think is the most talented quarterback in the draft. So he gets a situation where he can go in there, and he's not pressured to be the starter initially. But when he gets to go in the game, then I think that people will see someone who is very, very special. And I think that throughout practice, throughout this offseason, people are going to see a lot of the things in him that the 49ers saw in Trey Lance, someone who was so physically gifted that it's somebody that we have to give the reins to in the upcoming years.
Interesting. Do you see this year, now obviously, you know, this is outside looking in, but do you see the Titans having a package, you know, almost like how the 49ers did with Kaepernick, how the Ravens did with Lamar? Do you see them having a package like that for Malik?
I wish I had a better idea or insight on exactly what they thought about doing, but I think that Malik is so smart and so sharp that you can give him a package or you can give him the whole offensive system. He'll be able to handle both of those things very, very well.
Nice. And that's the good thing. And we're talking to Quincy Avery, who works with various quarterbacks in the NFL and entering the NFL, one of which is Malik Willis, who the Titans drafted at 86 overall. Do you think, I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to base it off of this, because one of the things the Titans said as far as Malik becoming the starter or like carving out a role was really up to him and how he develops. So from what you just said, you feel like he'll be able to come in, grasp that playbook pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's not about grasping the playbook. His issue is just going to be playing at the NFL speed, and no rookie quarterback has played at the NFL level. So everything's going to be new to them. As soon as he can pick that up, I think that he'll have the ability to play at the NFL level.
What would you say are some areas for improvement? Like, I don't like to call them weaknesses. I want to say, you know, areas where he could get his game a little bit better.
I bet the biggest transition for him is just going to be getting in and out of a huddle. It's not something he's done since probably eighth or ninth grade, right? Going in the huddle, calling a play, getting out of the huddle, making those adjustments based on what the defense is doing. Those are going to be the things that are going to be the most difficult. When the ball is snapped and you're playing football and you're playing fast, Malik is going to be excellent at that. It's all the stuff pre-snap that I think is going to be the biggest transition.
Now, how about climbing the pocket? Because that's something some people have said they would like to see him do more consistently. Is that something that you agree with, or where are you as far as your assessment of how he climbs the pocket and does the things he needs to do to push the ball down the field?
Yeah, I don't think those people know what they're talking about. I don't think they watched enough film. Like, maybe he didn't move up in the pocket, but have you guys seen the Liberty offensive line? Did you guys
see,
if you look at all those different things, like, there's some components of that aren't necessarily the same as what he's going into. Malik is going to be able to find space in the pocket wherever he needs to find it. That's not an area of concern that I heard from any NFL coach as we went through this process, so that's not something I'm particularly concerned about.
Good. Now, when you look at the turnovers, because I think, as you said, right, you look at the offensive line, what he was working with. I think you also have to look at what he was working with as far as receiver options. I mean, there were plenty of times where I saw guys fall down on routes. There were times where guys just simply put didn't run routes well. He's put the ball on guys, and they hit them right in the hands, and they didn't catch it. How would you explain some of the turnovers that he had? Because I know each one has its own story, but it seemed like a lot of times he was just trying to do too much, right, to kind of make up for what he didn't have.
Yeah, so, I mean, they all the interceptions fall into different buckets. There's interceptions where guys maybe should have made a play on the ball and caught a ball, and they didn't, maybe took up their hands, and the defender intercepted it. But there's also a story of when you're on a team and everything revolves around you, you will see an escalation in the number of interceptions that you throw just because you feel like you have to do a lot. not only did I experience that with Malik, but I experienced that with Deshaun Watson when he went into his junior year at Clemson, when everybody predicted him to be the overall number one pick. When you have that on your shoulders, when everybody's relying on you every single play, you just tend to throw more interceptions. And is that something that I've seen year after year after year? So it's something that I wish he would not have done, which he would have been a little bit more cautious with the ball. But at that level, he doesn't have the opportunity to protect the football. He has to go make plays, and that's right. What he was trying to do. And some of those instances turned it out on him making the interceptions. I think that he understands the value of the football better now than he ever could have if he didn't go through those experiences. So I actually think that it's a better situation that for his team now that he actually went through that.
Nice, because it's already over and done with. I like that. As far as Deshaun Watson is concerned, because you mentioned him, I know you've worked with him. Do you see similarities in their game, Watson and Willis?
In their demeanor, more so than their game. They're both supremely talented people. Deshaun is one of the most laid-back, fun-loving, wants-to-have-a-good-time guys that I know. And then that's the same thing with Malik. They both love football, but they also like to have a good time on the football field. They want to smile. They want to laugh. They want to encourage their teammates. That's who they are as people, and I think that that's who they are on the football field.
And with the demeanor, I think that's something that really probably surfaced as his free fall on draft day happened. He said he didn't bring a second suit. So he was expecting, I'm sure you were expecting him to go day one. How was his mentality, his mindset? Like, how was he to be around, you know, while that free fall was happening?
He was probably as good as you could be. You know, when you're going through something like that, it's not something necessarily that you expect.
Right.
And you just got to react. I think that he did as good. I mean, if I was 21 years old going through that, I wouldn't have handled it as well as he did. He smiled through it all. He understood when they don't draft you, it's saying what they think about you. And he's going to remember that for a long time. And I think that he's going to have the opportunity to make people pay for the decisions that they made on draft night.
Now, along with that demeanor, staying calm under a tough situation, I'm not saying it's going to be one, but you look at Ryan Tannehill's comments, right? And in a snapshot, what he said was, hey, it's not my job to be his mentor. But before that, he did say, you know, the competition that's part of the quarterback room. First of all, what do you think of Tannehill's comments in saying it's not his job to be a mentor, but if he learns from him, that'd be a great thing?
I think that Ryan Tannehill he's an adult, so he can say whatever he feels
right.
At whatever time he feels like saying it. I think that he's right. He's not paid to be a mentor. However, you should always be a good teammate. And I'm not sure. I don't think he said he wasn't going to talk to Malik.
Correct.
I wouldn't help him along if Malik answered questions. So I think some of the judgment that we've given Tannehill or the things that I've seen people say about Tannehill may be a little bit unfair because I'm not sure that anybody wants to help somebody take their job. So he's going out there and competing. I think Malik is going to go out there and compete too. I don't think that it'll be too much stress on their relationship. Malik's a good dude. Everything I heard about Tannehill in the past has been him being a good guy. So we'll kind of see how it goes.
So as far as jumping into the huddle, looking 10 other guys in the face, and, you know, those guys knowing that they could rely on you, what do you think will make Malik able to do that so well? Because we talked about that with Jalen Hurts, and you saw how quickly he did that. I'm not saying they're the same guy, but that's someone that you worked with, so you know what that looks like. So how do you think Malik will be able to go in and look those 10 guys in the eye, give them a play, and everything a role?
They're going to see him in practice every single day for the next few months. And they're going to know that when this guy gets in the game, we can feel comfortable because he's done everything right. And really the guys who earn the trust of their teammates are the guys who put in the work in terms of preparation, go out there and practice and put in the work there. And he's going to do all those things. And his teammates, I'm very, very confident, are going to trust him to the utmost level. And he'll have guys rallying behind him when he gets on the field.
And just in closing, I know that you still have relationships and work with a lot of the guys that you worked with before they were pros. What does that look like for Malik? Like, how does that look? I mean, are you still going to work with him leading up to rookie minicamp and in off seasons, et cetera?
Yeah, man, it doesn't change. We're working nonstop. I'm actually going to see Jalen Hurts tomorrow.
Nice.
We're getting some work in. Like, the relationship that I have with guys it lasts for a long time. Not only because I make them better quarterbacks, but because they know I care about them as people. So it's gonna be a fun ride. I can't wait to get up to a couple games. What's it, Nissan Stadium?
Yep.
Up there in Tennessee. Check out some stuff and get to see Malik live in action.
For sure. And before we get you out of here, I want to give you an opportunity just to shout out, you know, what you do. We talked about the work with the guys, but definitely want you to shout out the channel, your avenue, your platform that you do it through.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. You can follow me on all social. Just look for Quincy Avery or Quarterback Takeover. Either one of those things is either me or my company, and we're going to continue to grow and continue to help the best quarterbacks in the world get a little bit better.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Quincy Avery, quarterback coach for Malik Willis. Yes, your Titans quarterback of the future, Malik Willis. Quincy, I appreciate you coming on. And, hey, man, when you come up to Nashville, make sure you holler at me.
Man, I hit your line.
All right, for sure. So that was Quincy Avery talking about Malik Willis. He is Willis's personal QB coach. Always good to get an opportunity, right, to go behind the scenes, get behind the curtains and see just how some of this stuff happens, you know, and how the sausage is made, so to speak. Got a good perspective on what to expect from Willis when he gets here for rookie minicamp and going forward. So appreciate Quincy Avery for that. And it's always good talking shop with Chris Sanders. Got to get a rookie minicamp memory in there. And, hey, we'll keep it moving. Elijah Campbell hitting the switches, making this happen. And shout out to each of you for tuning in each week. This is what we do. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.